Hi, I'm Lashana Lynch, and you are listening to the Post Credit Scene podcast.
I hate to be that guy, though. I don't like.
I don't think this is a film that you need to go see cinema for.
Which one?
Materialistic.
Materialist.
Materialist. Yeah, I didn't bother correcting.
Materialist.
No, because he's done it bears, and I was like, yeah, there's no point. He's just gonna keep saying it.
But like, I mean, the materialist tries to do the extreme as well. Okay, I mean, do the whole like BBL guy thing, right? Okay, da da da, and all of that jazz, and it's not even that deep. Okay, and then but what I like about Roses is that they actually were able to do a rom com without having to do something of an extreme. Obviously, putting the end to one side, right? But like that was the last scene, right? Do you know what I mean? But like prior to that, okay, like it was a genuine rom com drama, right? And even though it seemed like it was written previously, but also it had such a different turn to it. Was it Olivia?
Coleman.
Bro, she's top tier, you know? Yeah. Like, she's actually top tier, bro, yeah. And Benedict was outstanding as well, okay? The support cast, Andy Samberg, okay? And that support cast was absolutely hilarious, okay? I really loved it, man. It was funny. It was cute. Like, you were almost, like, rooting for them, do you know what I mean? Which is what I think you should do in a rom-com, you know? But, yeah, it was dope. Hey, what's the other one? Honey Don't?
I haven't watched that one.
Mid, bro. Just hella sex scenes, fam. Mid. And it was like, Biss would hate it, by the way. Because it was sex scenes for no reason. Like,
that sounds like something she would have liked, to be fair.
Yeah, but it was all lesbian sex scenes, I think.
I was going to make... Let me not go there. She'll kill me. We are the Post Credit Scene Podcast, a 14HQ original. Love is a film, TV and theatre in our second home for the second time.
Yes, sir.
How you feeling, Manny?
I feel great. I feel cold, though.
Oh, I turned
But off. You're happy to be in your second home, right?
I'm excited to be here. Prefer this over. This is my first home now. It's my home.
Oh, you've claimed it.
Yeah, I claimed it, bro.
I'm even like certain people. Anyway, let me not do that. Certain groups.
That is a joke. Yeah,
that's you good,
a real joke.
Huh? Are you good, dog?
Yeah, I'm good, my guy.
Good to hear, man. Good to hear.
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right, man. I've been a bit ill. I didn't share
you
with...
Give you the huggies?
No one, man. No one. I didn't share with you guys, but I was supposed to be at the... Because of ITV, I was supposed to be at the National TV Awards. I didn't go because I was ill.
You're lying.
That's a shame, bro.
Bro, what do you mean?
No, I was...
Yeah, you would have gone otherwise.
I would have... Like, come on, I would have gone. I was ill. So,
yeah. Damn.
That damn bad with the... It felt like, apparently, people are saying there was like a flu going around. So...
Probably.
Yeah. Early September, it's change of season-ish kind of vibes.
Yeah.
It's funny because I think Mo's done that as well. It was after the barbecue.
Oh, but he came dressed in a t-shirt. He was going to get ill.
Yeah.
Maybe that's how you got ill.
No, I was ill before. I was already on the way, so it might be my fault, to be fair. Yeah. It might be my fault. Hoss, how'd you do?
Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm in good spirits in the 14 issue side of things. A show that I've been working on for... almost 2 years, but 18 months now, bruv.
It's a long time.
So yeah, it's finally that I wrote, directed with the team, and it's out now. Well, it's not out now, the trailer's out,
mm-hmm.
The Deji Show,
nice.
Which is super exciting. It came out on Thursday, 1.6 million views, which is...
It's quite big, isn't it?
Well, it's ridiculous, bro.
It's not bad numbers, that.
Not bad numbers, man. The sponsors are happy, Deji's happy, the team's happy, so... Mm-hmm. Yeah, the episode comes out on Thursday. The first episode comes out on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be fun, man. Should be fun. I'm now we're just hype mode. I spent so much time on the show. So
round of applause, man. Round of applause.
Appreciate y'all, man. Appreciate y'all.
Nice.
So we're finally
nice.
There, man. We're finally there. But yeah, man, good, man. How have you been?
Yeah, we're here, man. We're back in our second home. We've got a friend of the show here today. Welcome to Tolu. Round of applause. Reputable person within the world of film and TV. Thank you for joining us as a producer for today. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Tolu's good. Tolu's good. She ain't got a mic in it, so Tolu's good.
She has a mic. We can get one still. There's one right over there, you know.
She's like, nah.
It's all good, yeah.
Nah, we'll catch the audio anyway. Today is an interesting topic. We've had to pivot. I think it's good to be honest sometimes, man. It's not bad to be honest. We had an episode plan. We had a guest. Guest couldn't make it. She's going to come back at some point. She's got a sort of great insight and history within the world of film, TV and journalism as a whole. And it would have been really interesting to dive into some of the topics of journalism when you consider what's happened in the last few weeks with Ayo Edebiri and Chris Evans and Vanessa Kirby. It's been a bit of a chaotic mess, to be honest with you, with some of the questions that these journalists are posing. These are journalists as well, not even like influencers who always sort of get the blame for what's going on. It's always the influencers' fault for asking crazy questions. But a lot of these are like supposedly reputable.
Yeah, but I think that's the symptoms of constantly having influencers in the space. And I'm not saying that's necessarily a wrong thing to do, because some of them do a really good job. But now I feel like it's merged the two in terms of actually putting out journalistic
clickbait, man,
questions, and then merging it into clickbait now, trying to capture a particular audience normally occupied by influencers. So some of the questions that they're asked is like, bro, this is the type of stuff that you do a TikTok video about rather than actually being a proper journalistic question. So I think you can see the two worlds emerging together, but there needs to be a level of balance, and there has to be level of professionalism.
Have you seen that guy on TikTok and Instagram? Well, he's mainly on TikTok, Tom, and he goes around, he visits set locations.
And takes pictures.
He takes pictures and then shows it to the actors. Yeah, and he did one, he did an interview with Denzel and Tom Hardy recently.
Yeah.
Two of my favourite that I've seen quite recently, where he was just speaking to Tom about being in the moment when you're acting and so on and so forth. And Tom Hardy gave like a really profound answer about like being in the moment and looking into someone's eyes and like interacting with that person whilst you're acting. It was really good. And I think there's still space. There's a lot of space for the conversation, firstly.
Yeah.
Fair to say.
Yeah. No, yeah, 100%.
And secondly, a space for both people and both types of people to exist. People who are content creators and have a real passion for film and TV alongside your reputable journalists who you would think would be doing.
Do you know what's so funny? You know, there's like, there's actors as well, right? That half of them, when you see them answer these questions, blah, 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 like half of them will almost turn the question, even though it might be like a game or something, they might turn it like journalistic because their answers are like insightful or something like that. Okay, do you know what I mean? Okay, and then that helps that person, right? But when there's some actors, okay, who are just like, well, this is my 19th interview of the day, I'm just gonna get through this. Do you know what I mean? Okay, and then it makes your question sound a lot more basic than what you thought he might answer or she might answer. Do you know what I'm saying?
So, because I've spoken to like 20 of you guys today. Leave me alone.
Yeah. There's two interviews that I always reference when we get sent like for junket stuff, etc. About like how kind of like how kind of like the balance goes on. The first one is the Wonka one that we done.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I feel like there's a question that you asked about dreaming and the reality of things, okay, and that kind of stuff, yeah, where you can literally see Michael Kingkey like literally go like, huh, and then like, you know, obviously, you know, and answer that. And then on the other side, okay, you know, we had, you know, the jokes about the Jaffa cakes, etc. And
you know, like, still.
He was like exuberant.
No, you two were like best buddies. Though. Yeah. No, they really were. I was like, am I supposed to be here?
No. But your questions were ridiculously like important, bro. Okay, because
for the balance.
Exactly. And then you run. With you and
Vivian.
Yeah. Really good one as well. Okay, because it was the same thing. It was like you guys were able to kind of like lock them in and out of the serious answers, and then obviously, you know, going into the game that we had. Do you know what I mean? So like I'm down for a balance. Okay, if I had to pick one, I'd pick the serious tone, or maybe that's the wrong way to put it.
It's more insightful.
I'd pick that tone. If there's time, I'll definitely always see if there's like a balance.
For sure.
What's been your favorite question that you asked somebody
ever?
Yeah, or even your favorite reaction that you've gotten?
Tough one. I don't like. No, that's wrong. Don't say that, Gaz.
What are you gonna say, bro?
If I had to, I'd let like rest of you guys do interviews.
Yeah.
Really.
I'm not. It's not I don't care about junkets. I do. I care about talking to you, the filmmakers and actors, about their craft,
which is obviously the goal that we're doing now, right?
Yeah.
Bring them onto our set.
Yeah, but in terms of
like a junket.
Junket as a concept, I get the importance of it,
but I hate it too.
I do not hate junkets, because when Ritz Maneuver drops, I want to be involved. But it's just more so. Because I get it. It sometimes feels like it is their job, and it sometimes does feel like a job. But I do like having a conversation with them. But
I think it just comes naturally to some people as well. And that's not like to say no one can. I think we all pose really interesting and diverse questions in different ways. But like Abyss, that's just her lane.
That's her, yeah.
That's her thing. Like,
that's her bag.
She can just have a conversation with a rock and the rock will talk back to her. Do you know what I mean? Whereas it's me, I'm going to delve into like the Niki stuff of
TV. And depending on who you're talking to, they might give you the same energy back. Yeah.
I can't lie, like, I think I fuck up interviewing her.
That's fine.
Yeah, I think like, that suits your personality, though.
Like, I forgot that when 14 started, that's what I was doing. Like, I interviewed ASAP Ferg, Lucky Day, Maxo Cream, like, bare people. Do you know what I mean? Okay, and I completely forgot that I even did that, bro, because obviously I went more behind the camera. But, like, doing the Samira interview was really good because... I'm sure we can say this now, but like when she came in, like she wasn't in like the greatest of moods. Like we were definitely her last interview of that day. Do you know what I'm saying? And then like you can tell when you're watching it in the first like 3-4 minutes, okay, like her mood changes. And I feel like I found myself, I have the ability to do that. Do you know what I'm saying? Okay, so I was like, do you know what? And I was nervous as shit for that one, bro. I was nervous. I could tell both things.
I could tell she wasn't in the mood and I could tell you was a bit jittery.
Yeah.
And then you warmed into it.
I warmed into it, right? Do you get me? So then once I kind of like got into it, like I felt like, you know what? I actually really, really fuck with this. And the other interview that I was nervous as shit for was Letitia. But that's because...
That was the first one.
Black Panther.
That was the... Yeah. Because... Guys, he was fucking making me fucking nervous, bro. He was making me so nervous, bro. Because we were like, I was outside the room. Obviously, we've told the story like 1,000 times when he thought that he was gonna interview. What's the actor called that played Namor?
Tenoch Huerta.
Yeah. So we thought that we were gonna interview them both, and then we didn't know how to say his name. And Gaz was panicking, like, oh, say name. So I'm now fucking rehearsing his damn name. And then he realizes that he's in the wrong room, walks out, and then we go, all right, cool, so we don't have to do that anymore. And we had to go back to our original script. Also, we had 10 minutes, and they kept bringing us down. It was like 8 minutes, 6 minutes, 4 minutes. And we were like, what the fuck? What the hell? So the whole...
Junkets are jarring.
Situation.
No offense, Tolu. But like...
They are jarring, bro.
Like, everyone's just so like... scattered gun and it's so hectic, everyone's so like nervous and jittery and everyone's moving around and it's chaos. I don't like chaos. That's what I've realized. I don't like chaos.
I hear it. But I can't lie, when we went in there, we locked the hell in, bruv. We locked the hell in. I think the first joke that I made to her was like, I called her Tish. And then everyone laughed and I was like, breathe. Exhale, guys.
Speaking of Lissy, you're right, she's got a theatre show.
She does.
In Bush Theatre. I was meant to go on Friday. It's kind of upsetting I wasn't able to go. Because I was at a wedding, but
love is important.
Yeah, love is important.
Don't sigh. Official, yeah. Love is important.
It's official. Love is important. Love
you sighed with disappointment.
Because I really wanted to go to the fair show.
I know.
It was also press night.
You was thinking it in your mind as well, weren't you,
bro?
I was there watching them celebrate their love, and you're like, oh, should I be here?
I was there. I was like, if I leave at this particular time,
okay.
No.
That's crazy.
The Venus Max. I got there. I was like, okay, starts at 2. I can leave by 4:30.
Nah,
get a 3:30. Ceremony hasn't even started yet. Ceremony ends at 4:30. It's like, I could leave right now and get to it, but I haven't even greeted him yet. I was like, I don't know what. I'm just gonna have to message them.
Take the L.
So I can't come to the press night.
She's also dropped a film, right?
Yeah, she dropped a short film at Soul Festival, at BFI, I think it was.
Yeah, they won an award, didn't it?
Yeah, I think she did. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Well, today's focus is, well, a few months ago, we did an episode discussing our favourite shows from particular streaming platforms. We also did a bit of a comparative sort of research lesson on the different streamers, what they offer, what they don't offer, etc., etc. So today, we're going to sort of hyper-focus on one particular streaming platform, which I think, or shall I say, who I think is having a good year when it comes to at least TV shows from that perspective. We're going to discuss Apple TV. It's become a huge talking point within our space, I think, in the last few years in regards to so many things, from their shows to their marketing or lack thereof. So my question to you guys is, firstly, when did you first become aware of Apple TV and what were your thoughts like, you know, within this sort of streaming bubble that we're currently in?
Sure. I think it might have been 3 years ago. I think Severance was the first.
Really?
I think Severance was the first Apple TV show I watched. Because the first season came out like 3 years ago. Because they took
a long time to make the second season.
I'm pretty sure it was Severance. If it wasn't Severance, then it was The Morning Show.
The Morning Show was one of their sort of flagship initial shows.
Yeah, if it wasn't Severance, it was The Morning Show. I can't remember which one I ended up watching first. And I just enjoyed it right away. I appreciate the quality of the shows they tried to produce. I think it definitely feels like...
Is that what stood out to you immediately?
Yeah.
But Severance is like a cheat code for that, right? Because it's literally the pinnacle of their shows. So if that's your introduction, you're going to have such high expectations.
But even the fact that they greenlit a show like this, because the concept of Severance isn't an easy concept to get head around, especially from...
Yeah, the slow first season.
I think it is.
I wouldn't go that far.
It's slow, bro.
I wouldn't go that far.
Look, I love the series, but it is a slow first season.
I wouldn't go that far.
Once you're into the world, you don't really notice it's slow.
Facts.
But it doesn't catch you with a bang.
I promise you, it
caught me right away. From the moment,
yeah, but that's your type of show, bro.
The moment that Helly R drops into the scene and she doesn't know her name. And she knows her name. She knows things about her, but she doesn't know other things about her. The mystery right away.
But you're weird, so of course you'd like it.
But a lot of people love it, bro.
Maybe it's
the problem.
It's your type. We're gonna actually get into Severance, but my point is it's your kind of show.
It's my kind of show. So yeah, it got me away. And also I do love a good psychological trauma.
Really?
Yeah, surprising. Wow, and I can't remember the last time I've watched something like that and right away capture my intrigue that quickly. I can't remember if it was Severance or the morning show that I watched, but even The Morning Show, it's just the quality of the production that I really, really enjoyed right away. And it kind of reminded me of like Premier TV and HBO flagships TV shows from the more so like mid-2000s and late-2000s. Mm-hmm. So I don't think like Sopranos and The Wire production-wise looked great
for the time. They would have
for the time would have been, but obviously I think the quality of the production got me right away.
Yeah, fair. What about you, Hoss? What was your introduction or history within the realm of Apple TV?
I was more intrigued than A24. I was so obsessed with them guys,
right?
And obviously they signed like a massive deal with Apple TV and produced like their first couple, or I think they still do a lot of their shows and like a lot of their films. But I thought that Apple backing really and truly like an independent studio to kind of come and do these shows was freaking sick. And then a 24, they picked a lot of that like writers and that are same and like first time like directors and stuff. I thought it was freaking awesome. My intro to like a show in particular or like a film was we were talking about earlier, Macbeth. It was Denzel, Black and White, and I was like, oh, let me give this a go.
I mean, it's Denzel, so it's immediately just gonna lure you in, right?
Anything? Or Denzel.
Yeah, he has corrected us, to be fair, because his dad was Denzel and his mum was like, yeah, you're Denzel. But that's how I used to pronounce it. It's only because of him that I started saying Denzel. I never used to say Denzel.
Yeah.
It's because of him.
What, I'm going to carry on saying Denzel until I meet him.
Whatever I feel like in the mood.
Yeah, you decide on the day.
What about TV shows, though?
TV shows... Excuse me. I think in general, I've watched maybe three or four on there, bro. Like, I haven't watched many. And okay. I think the first one was a sci-fi one. What was it called?
Silo?
Was it the one where they're in space for time?
In space?
Is it Man of Kind? Man of something? Apple TV?
My favorite show that I've watched on there other than Succession is...
Succession is not on there.
Not Succession, sorry.
Severance.
Severance is Monarch.
Got you.
That's the
Godzilla.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of
why are we laughing? It was rated very highly.
I heard it's good.
It was rated very, very highly. It won an award as well.
I heard it's good. It's a very hush show. Just like he has his you have yours.
No, I like other shows, okay. It's just that I thought like it was gonna be ass, and it wasn't ass. Okay, and it was really good. Okay, the cast was good. It was dope. It was written really well. And the main thing, okay, was that it looked fucking outstanding. Do you know what I mean? But I was more into the films on Apple TV, which unfortunately the films are probably the weakest part of the platform. Okay, but they also again they look so good. Like I watched one last year when we were talking about with Miles. Teller?
I haven't seen it, but I know you remember you talking about
The Gorge. The Gorge. Oh,
you watched it.
this is what I'm saying. Concept wise, though, it's a good concept.
It's a good concept.
It's a good concept, right? And it looks incredible, okay? It's just.
It looks cool.
I don't know why they went into the whole sci fi space, man. Like, right at the bottom when he was driving through, it ruined the whole film. But the dynamic between.
That's when the film got ruined.
Yeah, for sure. The dynamic between, like, the romance and that kind of stuff was freaking awesome, bro. And the mystery behind it. And I would have been happy with the film ending without us actually seeing.
What's down there?
Yeah. So the inferior was freaking dope. And then there was one of Tom Holland as well.
Okay.
I don't know the name of it.
The one where he can read people's minds. Well, no, where when you're speaking to someone, they can hear your thoughts and you can hear their thoughts.
You don't remember the name?
It's fucking ass as well.
Yeah, as I was saying, Apple TV have an interesting history, as most of these like platforms and sort of businesses do, where it's not necessarily when you're first aware of them is when they started off, right?
Yeah.
From what I've read here, they sort of date back to the 90s and the early 2000s.
Apple TV.
So in September 12th, 2006, Apple announced the ITV set box, which would later be named Apple TV, for sort of home syncing and streaming of local iTunes content to a TV. And it was set to launch in 2007. But we're not going to dive through all of that. Yeah. 2017, Apple do a really interesting thing where they hire Sony TV veterans Jamie Eldridge and Zach Van Amberg to sort of head up their streaming platform and their video platform going forward for movies and TV shows, which sounds like a astute hiring when you're talking Sony executives coming over to sort of start something new, which can be quite exciting, right? Because you're not restricted by what's been done before, because you're essentially being given license to do something new. And it feels as though Apple have made like a huge commitment to, like, firstly, original shows, which is what we would have said about HBO in like the 90s and the 2000s, and even the 2010s to some degree, before the sort of massive IP boom that we're sort of now in. And also quality from a production perspective, which you've mentioned before. From an originals perspective, is that something you can feel and see when you're either using their platform or when you're hearing other people talk about Apple as a sort of streaming platform?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, given some of the shows that we mentioned before, I'm sure we're going to get into that later on in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
They all feel unique and they all feel like they have a story to tell within the universe that they created. Even like from talking about The Morning Show, talking about Severance, or even films like The Gorge. There's a lot of Apple TV shows that I've watched that may not necessarily love,
mm-hmm.
but I can always appreciate the concept and the attempt of a story being told. And I think that's something that is consistent with Apple TV shows that I've come across, that it feels like they are trying to tell a story and trying to be unique and trying to take risks within the storytelling. Sometimes it doesn't land, but I do appreciate the fact that they are trying to do something different and trying to capture an audience that may not necessarily already have a home. So that's what I appreciate the most.
Yeah, fair dues. What about yourself, Us?
Yeah, no, I actually appreciate the hiring process, but with who they have to actually do these films or these series. I think we had a conversation like a year ago. Okay, that's the beauty of like streaming. All right, like we wouldn't have got Bird Box ever because obviously it got like turned down by Universal and
for good reasons. But yeah.
Okay, well, for millions of people, it was a pioneering series. Well, sorry, pioneering film for the streaming service, right? And that's because Sandra Bullock, right?
Yeah,
like she pushed for it, right? And I think we're seeing that with obviously stuff like Severance, you know, and different projects. Okay, like they've used a lot of like first time like for like writers or directors or producers. Okay, of like this size. Sorry, you know. So like that for me was what kind of caught my eye at first, okay, and with that comes like originals, you know, mm-hmm. and comes like new ideas, or you know, or risky ideas that like a lot of blockbuster stews might not want to take that risk on, you know. So like, do you know like Samuel L. Jackson has done, what is it, like 182 films or something like that, or stuff like that, right? Like 100 of them have gone straight to DVD. Do you know what I mean? But if there was a streaming time back then, a lot of those films might have had better budget, a better team, a better whatever it is, okay, to be able to go onto a streaming platform. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's what I think Apple came into this space, okay, kind of like watching the mistakes that everyone else has maybe made and then taking their time in getting there.
Yeah, for sure. In March 2019, they launched the service, and they announced it in March 2019, and they launched in November 2019, positioning its catalogue as Apple Originals rather than like a library service. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's where the comparison to other platforms comes in, where...
They did do that, you're right, you know.
Where like, I'll use an example, Prime Video, they might license a movie, for example, for a particular period of time, and then it's not on the platform anymore. Yeah. And it's an interesting, their strategies are quite interesting, where they do a lot of free trials.
Yeah.
They sync it together with their devices. So if you buy a new Apple device, you get Apple TV for like 3 months. And then you'll get like Apple Music alongside it. I think there's another one called Apple One, which is like a bundle. So they really like push you. They give you the opportunity or try to lure you into their sort of...
ecosystem.
Into their ecosystem through various means. Do you think their strategy, before we dive into the actual shows and movies, do you think their strategy is working as it stands today?
Via Apple TV specifically, I'm not entirely sure, but...
It's hard for you. The reason I would say it's hard for us is because we're like consumers. We're like
already involved like in it. I don't think like even without Apple TV, we'll still be consuming Apple-related stuff, whether it be an Apple Watch, an Apple phone, iPhone or iPad or Mac. We're still like... very much within the Apple's ecosystem already. But I think, because I know Apple TV doesn't make money. So to me, it just seems like it's just branding to them rather than actually... It's
marketing.
Yeah, it's marketing.
But then if they have enough like original assets,
yeah,
those films and
in a long term, it'll have
make
the profit.
Them bread, because obviously if they choose to license them out to Amazon or Netflix, they're gonna pay peas, bro, because no one has them.
Back to Gaz's question, is it working? I guess so. I actually don't know. But I'm assuming it does, because it's Apple. They got unlimited resources and money. I'm pretty sure they can do what they want. Mm-hmm. And then on the back of that,
it definitely works on
suckers
me.
Us being suckers, we just consume it.
Yeah, it definitely worked on me. Like when I got my new phone, I got it. And then when I got my iPad,
but have you kept after the free trial? Have you kept using Apple TV?
That's probably the only L, right? The only L is that, like, because you have to be invested either in an original show or know that they're going to bring something around. Like, I can't get rid of Now TV, right? Because all of the HBO shows are on there, right? So every time I think let me pause it for now, I can't. Right, and if I want to rewatch Game of Thrones or House of Dragons, I have to watch it there, right? Do you know what I mean? So, like, Apple hasn't got that hook yet for me just yet.
Okay.
At the moment, I have to be invested into a show. But after that, yeah, I can pretty much say I'll come back later.
Yeah, I think they've got me, you know. Yeah, the reason I think they've got me, because I feel like I can rely on them to bring something out that would at least pique my interest.
Yeah.
Then whether it's good or not is another conversation. That's separate to, this looks interesting. I could name at least 5 shows this year, which we'll do later on, that I'm like, interesting. And whether it's successful or not is another conversation. I guess the problem is you've got Now TV, you've got Netflix, you've got Prime, you've got Apple TV. I've probably missed some as well, to be fair. There's like so many options and so many things that drain your finances. Yet we love film and TV, so we find one way or another to sort of remain active consumers, I would say. Yeah.
I think one thing that's, I guess, quite unique with Apple and Prime in comparison to Netflix and Now TV is that Prime and Apple have the ability to bundle their TV shows or the streaming stuff with other stuff. Because obviously with Prime, you get Prime when you purchase the Prime thing. Prime deliveries. With Apple TVs, because again, you get bundles with other stuff related to you, your iPhone or whatever Apple device you have. Netflix doesn't have that. You can't necessarily bundle Netflix stuff unless, like, other third party companies that,
but they have the biggest catalog.
Yeah, I guess that's the selling point.
Actually, that brings up a really interesting question. Would you have Prime if Prime wasn't Amazon?
No, I don't think I would have Prime if it wasn't for Prime Deliveries. legit, I don't think I'll have it.
That's good.
I don't even use it. Apart from Invincible, and the boys. What have I really watched on it? Like, I know the stuff that I've watched on it, but I can't really think off the top of my head.
I've watched loads of films on there, but again, none of them have like moved me.
Yeah, probably all cheeks, bro.
I watched one the other day with Idris Elba and John Cena. Head of State.
Oh, the Head of State, yeah.
Head of State.
It's what you'd expect it to be fair.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not good either, you know.
I don't think it tries to be good.
Good, though. Yeah.
I just think it knows what it is.
It wants to be fun and silly and a bit on the nose.
Easy money. Do you know about...
Idris Elba just is making bank and that's all he cares. No, let me not say that because I love Idris. But yeah, he gave us The Wire. It's fine. It's fine.
Hijack, yeah.
What? Flat because then...
He gave us Hijack and he gave me Luther. I'm cool, man. Yeah. I'm cool.
You know, Netflix put out their top 10 grossing projects. Like last week.
What was in the top 10?
I don't remember off the top of my head if somebody could reach it, but it surprised me. Like at least 2-3 of them, okay, were just like dumb action films.
Okay. Maybe we keep that top 10 when we do the Netflix episode.
Okay, cool.
As a trivia.
But I'm saying it to be like, maybe the films that we think are like great films or successful,
not everyone
watches. Don't make them peas. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? Okay, because on that list here, there was bro. Do you know that there was a Dwayne the Rock one with Ryan Reynolds? What's that one?
That's not surprising.
That was like six. Or something,
what was the name
bro.
Of that one?
Huh? Gray Man. No. It was the one with Gal Gadot as well.
Oh,
Red one? No, that no. Red one Chris is Evans. The Amazon Prime one. Whatever that one. Okay.
Yeah.
But like, bro, that was like sick. And I was like, what of all time? Of all time, it shocked the hell out of me.
K-pop,
bro.
Demon Hunter. Was it K-pop? Something?
That was number one, right?
You got it right the first time.
Did I?
K-pop. Demon
I'm proud
Hunter,
of myself.
That was more, one or two in it on the list.
It's like one of the.
Go keep a buck.
It's good, isn't it?
That's a good film.
Yeah,
That's actually a good film. Like I watched it, I was like, because I went to watch it because I went to Outtake and it asked me, can you watch this film because we're gonna talk about it on the pod. I'm like 5 minutes in, I was gonna message him. He's like, bro, what have you got me into? 15 minutes later, I was like, you know what, The Color Cooking.
As in the one that came out recently, or what? The one that was on Netflix.
The one that came on Netflix.
They put it out in cinemas as well, though.
Yeah, it came out in cinemas as well. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. The same Sony that did, innit?
We should have done a fucking episode on that today with you and Jace. That would be sick.
On K-pop Demons or
on or any of that stuff.
Yeah. You're thinking of Demon Slayer. Sorry,
that K-pop came out
Demon
Friday,
Hunter. Innit? We're talking about K-pop Demon Hunter.
Okay.
You're thinking of Demon Slayer that came out this weekend.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah, I'm not watching that.
All right.
Ken said it felt like a TV series.
Yeah, that's what they do. They put the manga chapters into a film and then they release it as a TV show. I'm just not watching Demon Slayer. I'm telling you, it's like mid. Like it's not. I'm not wasting my time.
Yeah, that's fair. Right. So Apple have said that they want to place an emphasis on quality over quantity, and want to aim for prestige A-list talent and prestige shows. From what you've seen so far, Manny, we'll start with yourself. Do you think they've managed to do so? And which examples do you have for us?
So I can even give examples of TV show that I don't necessarily like that much. Like, for example,
go on.
Silo. I think the concept of Silo is great. I think it's based on a book. And it keeps me intrigued to actually want to carry on watch it. I don't think it's all that great. I don't think it's written all that amazingly, but if somebody turns around and says, "Oh, they love the show,"
it's got a big fan base.
Yeah, sometimes when I say love show, I get why. Yeah. There's definitely things about the show that's
Rebecca
amazing.
Ferguson is enough of a pool already,
she's
right? She's
great,
really
bro.
Yeah, she's super.
She's
talented.
Great, man.
Foundation is what
Foundation.
Yeah,
that's supposed to be really good, you know.
Yeah. That's what I was talking about.
I've heard great things about it.
Foundation as
well.
Yeah, I'm gonna look into that. But yeah, with Silo, and again, talking about them trying to tell a story and trying to be unique. That's what Silo is. Because you can't really turn around and find that many other shows that are similar to that.
Right.
But yeah, back to your question in terms of like them trying to ensure that they're doing quality over quantity and trying to give us the more prestige look of TV shows. We have stuff like Severance. We have stuff
right,
let's
start there.
With Severance.
Let's start there.
All right, let's go.
Start with the big boy. Glaze Ahead.
Amazing TV show. We've already done an episode on it. But again, I think the things that I think makes it so amazing is one, the unique level of writing that they have within the show. It's a show that's really well thought out. It takes quite a lot of, I feel like it takes quite a lot of effort and time to
it's
put
a
in.
Patient show.
Yeah, it definitely is. You definitely have to pay attention. You definitely have to focus on a show like Severance. And on top of that, there's like the casting is amazing. I think the cast of the show really well with the characters they have. It's directed brilliantly. I think Ben Stiller has done a great job.
Are you surprised by that?
Yes and no.
No, I think there's a quote from what's the writer of Breaking Bad, the creator of Breaking Bad.
I'd have to get my Googles on because I can't remember me.
I remember one time he said something on the lines of comedians are the best actors.
Oh yeah,
they are.
And I've always had that in my mind because it keeps
Vince Gilligan, Breaking Bad. No, he was a screenwriter.
I have had that in mind because it keeps ringing true.
It is true, bro.
And with Ben Stiller, obviously having such a comedic background, and now being able to—I know he didn't create the Severance, but I know he was there from the groundwork. And also, he's like the head director. I think he's directed quite a few episodes on Severance as well. And I think he's like one of the lead producers on the TV
show. I love the set design.
It's the set design, the costume design, the directing. What I can't remember her name, but what she did on episode 4, I believe.
Jessica Gagne.
Oh, bro, cooked. One of my favorite.
Her debut for cinematography. She was a cinematographer beforehand. Yeah, yeah.
Her first director debut, I think, was absolutely amazing. I know she's directing a few more episodes, or at least one more episode in the next season.
The casting was ridiculous as well.
It's okay.
The casting was ridiculous as well.
Absolutely amazing. Yeah. I think with all of that in combination, I think it takes. It's not that easy to create such a show that that does that well in so many different areas.
It's a very layered and complex show in one sense, but then on the other hand, it's also quite simple in another. Once you're in the world does make more sense. But then it's also then how far are you going to dig into the layers? And I think everyone loves a series where you can get into your theory bag, you can get into ideas and conversations and discussions around, oh, is that or is this that? And where it can spark conversation both online, within your friends. And I think that's helped by the fact it's also like a weekly release. So then that's one of Apple's things is releasing the episodes on a weekly basis, which then gives breathing space for the episode to land with people, especially if it's a good show.
Mm.
And then they come back to it the next week. Now, I don't know if all their shows need that per se, but I'm not mad at the prospect of them giving people a bit of time to process what they've watched, discuss it with people.
It's also obviously like a little marketing thing because we don't have the catalogue that Netflix has or etc. They need to keep people on the platform a bit longer, right? So, you know, giving them the whole series might be a bit more difficult for them because it's like, okay, cool, well, you've watched this now, okay, do you have anything else to watch that you might like? So in obviously to keep that attention span, then they have to keep them over for a few more weeks. But yeah
the cast is super talented as well. Adam Scott, Britt Lauer, Patricia Arquette, John Turturro, what a guy, Zach Cherry, Tramiel Tillman, who's having a really good year, to be fair to him. He was in Mission Impossible Part 2, Dead Reckoning. And he's been cast in Spider-Man Brand New Day.
Yeah.
Tramiel Tillman.
Yeah.
When he appeared in Mission Impossible, like the crowd in the audience, everyone kind of like laughed and gasped at the same time because he said something and he said it in such a like either Tramiel Tillman way or what's his character in Severance? I forgot his name.
Milchek.
He said it in like a Milchek way. He might have just been acting like he does. But everyone's like, we've all watched Severance at the same time, which was nice. One of my shows for Apple, right? And I'm gonna bang on about this show. Be careful with your words, Gary.
Can I guess which one it is?
Go on. You're wrong.
It's not Your Friends and Neighbours.
Nah, it's not. I love that show though.
It's the horses.
Nah, but I love that show too. It's Blackbird.
Okay.
Paul Zuhauser and
is that your favourite Apple?
It's one of my favourites.
Okay.
And Taron Egerton.
Okay.
And it's a really sort of dark true crime drama. It was created and developed by Delis Lehane and it's based on a novel. And it's essentially this guy who commits a crime and he's sent into prison to extract a confession from a serial unaliver. I'll use that word because, you know, bleeps and stuff, mm-hmm. Serial Unaliver, and the show is just so like slow and meticulous in one sense, but also like grips you straight away in another, creates so much tension. It's shot beautifully. It's six episodes, but the six episodes feel like full length episodes where you're like immersed in the world, and it's really well acted. Paul Walter-Hauser, you obviously watched him in Fantastic Four quite recently where he played Moleman. He is so good in this series, bro. Like, hauntingly good, where he convinces you he is the character rather than that he's acting.
Yeah.
Like, you're convinced, like, this is who he is and he's immersed himself in the role. It's quite a contained series in a lot of sense because it is set in a prison. And, like, if he has to extract the confession, to then be freed from prison, which is Taron Egerton's character.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so well acted. It's like a series that I'll always recommend to people. And I'm not even like a true crime kind of guy, but because it's like a crime drama, true crime, and it's based on a true story, it lured me in. And I love crime as a whole. It sounds a bit sadistic, but I like crime shows.
Yeah.
It's one of their best shows. I'm going to tell you that now. It's got 98% on Rotten Tomatoes, 8.1. We don't just rely on Rotten Tomatoes. 8.1 on IMDb, Empire Mag 4.5. It's got an 84% rating on Google as well. It's really good.
Okay.
So like, yeah.
Is it only one season?
Yeah, and that's what I liked about it. It didn't try to lure us back in with a second season that wasn't there to be told. It just told the story that was needed and said, okay, adios amigos. Love the show, and then you can move on to whatever else we've got on the platform. So yeah, are there any other shows? I've got loads we could discuss.
But I have a few. But
of course, you got anything you want to touch upon?
Shout out to Monarch.
Yeah, go and do your Monarch thing.
Right. Well, why is it so good?
It's like, all right, you guys have some respect in it, okay? The show's good. The cast is, like, they've done what? Oh, I've lost count, bro. Six films, maybe? Five films on this franchise?
I've barely watched any of them.
They really pushed out. I mean, okay. They really.
I watched the last one, though. Godzilla and Kong.
The last one was
so mediocre.
Yeah, the last one was the worst one, bro. Okay. But, like, what was cool about it was that obviously they concentrated on the organization that is around, you know, everything that was happening. Okay, that is it's kind of like a secret service for like mystical creatures and that kind of stuff. You know, and all of the, you know, Bigfoot and etc. So it was kind of like what I loved about it. Okay, it was shot in parallel with two timelines. So freaking sick. So you've essentially got like, you know, let's say 2025, and then you've got like 40 years prior or like 50 years prior, and it's just those exact timelines. Okay, and then like you'll get 10 minutes here and that will continue until the timelines meet towards the end of the season. Okay, so because of that, it made it so much more interesting for me. If it was one timeline, the 2025 one, I wouldn't have cared like at all.
Right? Yeah.
But the fact that it was able to kind of go back and do that, it was incredible. I forgot who was playing. One of them is each other's sons. What's it?
Remember the name of the character?
No. So basically, in the timeline, okay, Wyatt Russell.
Okay.
Right.
Oh yeah, he's a good actor.
He's cold, right? Okay, so he played.
People hate him now, though.
Yeah. So he played
because he plays the fake Captain America and Falcon and.
He was good in that, though.
He was really good.
He was good in that.
He was just a piece of shit, but that means he did his job. Yeah.
But Wyatt Russell plays the younger version of Lee Shaw, who founded Monarch. And then his dad, Kurt Russell, plays him in the.
Oh yeah, he's a nepo.
Nothing
wrong with nepo.
Yeah. But like. Freaking sick. Yeah. I mean, okay, because obviously it's so.
I think Nepo's is kind of like. Sometimes I think it's like, well, if you do pass down your talent, I think it's kind of like, rah, that's kind of cool. And like, would you not want your child to benefit from like.
Yeah.
Obviously, if it's like overindulged, I don't know how you rank that or how you grade that. But like, yeah, my son, go and. If you've got the opportunity to go and star in a series and you've got the talent and you've done the hard work. Yeah, reap the benefits of my hard work.
Yeah, I don't think there's anyone Nepo movies.
So I interrupted you for a Nepo rant.
That's all good. And then the only other thing that I want to shout out that, you know, before obviously we can move on is probably like the studio.
Yeah, we could talk about the studio.
That studio's
that's a bit of you. That's a bit of you too.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't like the studio?
I haven't finished it. Just not that I didn't like it.
What website did you get onto?
Like 4. No, not nothing. Like I liked it.
I know, but you just haven't gone back to it. Yeah. Okay.
I've really enjoyed it, man. Yeah. Okay. I think that Seth Rogen, when he leaves us on this planet, okay, we'll go down as one of the greatest kind of like writers or creators within our industry. You know, I think like what he does is extremely underrated. I actually wish that Jordan Peele kind of goes down this same route, okay, where like he's able to kind of just explore just different genres of work, you know, and really kind of a show. And you know, he's proving that just comedians have the widest minds. Do you know what I mean? Okay, like, and they just have like the greatest scope. It's casted fantastically. Okay, like it's
one of the best casted TV shows.
Yeah, yeah, and like I love ethical TV shows. Like I love ones, okay, that make us question what is right or wrong, okay, or individually what characters are doing right or wrong, okay. Do you know what I mean? And I also like, okay, that a lot of the characters that he plays in the things that he's involved in actually take a little bit of a step back to what's actually happening. Yes, like he may seem like a lead character, okay, but really and truly, okay, he's letting the show be the show.
Yeah,
you know, and he's just kind of like guiding it. Yeah. You know, but yeah, I think it's a fantastically written show, and I think the best thing about it is the pacing is fucking incredible.
Yeah,
but yeah,
it's very chaotic at times. I think it's a very good dark comedy, and to your point about Seth Rogen's character, he's not necessarily the driver of this to push the narrative forward.
Exactly.
He's like, we're just seeing the world of Hollywood through his perspective and with the interactions that he has. The episode with is it Celine Song that. The sunset episode that she's directing.
Yes, yeah.
No, it's not Celine Song. Sorry, it's
sure.
Or Greta Lee.
It's Greta. It's Greta Lee. And who's the actress? The one that was in Past Lives. What's her name? Greta Lee's.
Greta Lee's in Past Lives.
Greta Lee's in Past Life. I'm thinking of the different director. But yeah, Greta Lee's is in an episode. Is a director in it. I can't remember the director's name. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was that was a great episode because it was a one-er. It was the whole show.
Oh yeah, I watched that episode. That was funny.
Yeah, and I think like even adding that aspect of trying to showcase how a film is being made in terms of how the importance of a one shot is something that we probably wouldn't think about as consumers of film and TV, but people that actually work in the industry, people that work in production, people that work as directors and actors, they understand like the pressure and how margins make a difference in terms of being able to get this particular shot and essentially being the cherry on the top of a film that you think is great. And even other things that they're discussing, especially Zoe Kravitz's character, I think that's probably my favourite character in TV show. I don't think you've gotten to those episodes yet. But even just seeing the level of slime some actors actually are and how much they pretend and how much it's just a performance for them.
You have to remember these are like just... Not to you, but these are human beings.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think they humanize actors, directors, and producers really well in terms of like, bro, these are just human meat. These are just people.
There are some pieces of shit.
Oh, yeah, facts. But the pieces of shit everywhere. But the more that you're empowered, the more pieces of shit you find. Anyways.
I think Catherine Hahn's great in it as well. I just want to throw that out. I'm a huge fan of Catherine Hahn. I think she's...
Oh, yeah, she's the...
She's one of the execs.
She's
so...
She gets better, bro. Yeah. Like she
twisted a bit heavily.
Yeah. She. I think she might be my favorite out of the main group. I think she's my favorite character. To be fair, I like all four of them.
Bryan Cranston's in it as well, no?
Yes, yeah. He's in like two. He's like in 3 episodes. When you get to bro, watch it.
Yeah,
like,
no. Do you know what it is? There's just so much.
Yeah, there's an episode where they're having I think it's right before an awards show. And then he buys weed. Seth Rogen's character buys weed and buys mix it into weed brownies,
right?
But he's trying to be cool in it.
He's always trying to be cool,
but it's not like instead of getting like micro doses, he gets like big batches, and now the whole bear people are just getting high without realizing. And Zoe Kravitz goes off the rails, and it's generally one of the best episodes of that show.
It's very like The Office.
Yeah, it is
very
but,
The Office.
But that's gonna put him off it.
No. I don't love The Office like them, so I'm a villain. Yeah, I think it's fine.
He doesn't like it.
Yeah, I think it's
fine. Exactly. Crazy.
Yeah, I think it's fine. Like, I think it's good at times.
Yeah, stop, please.
Bro. But in the wider things, in terms of the studio for Apple TV, again, a TV show that's, we haven't really seen or haven't seen a TV show that in particular, or that story being
risky
told.
Again.
It's a risk, and the production quality is always high. And I think because it is Apple, they have the budget and I guess the connections and resources to be able to bring in these.
And we don't have to rush either.
Yeah, at all. Is it like the pace of it is? It is chaotic, but it doesn't move that fast in terms of like, actually the storyline. And also, it's very episodic, which I think is brilliant for that type of show. It's a brilliant dot comedy.
Almost feels like a documentary. Almost.
Yeah, yeah.
Almost. Like 5% of it, okay, at times, okay, like especially if you do work in the industry, like 20% of each episode, okay, is you actually learning things. Like, oh wait, okay, oh, that's pretty cool. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, nah, it's dope.
Oh, fair dues. I want to go. There's a few I could risk stuff. Like, I love Presumed Innocent, but I'm not going to get into it. I think that was really good, and it was good to see Jake Gyllenhaal. That was his TV debut. Yeah. He delivers, and it's got like,
was it?
Yeah, it's got Peter Sarsgaard. It's got Bill Camp. Bill Camp is like a really good actor, bro. That's so good. But I'm gonna go Shrinking, right? And like. People think I'm this doom and gloom type of guy that only likes misery and horribleness and darkness and mystery.
Never.
People think that about me, right?
Wow.
See, Shrinking, such an uplifting, heartfelt series.
It's beautiful, bro.
Made me feel so good inside.
Absolutely.
You can watch that series, and I ended up binging it, and I didn't want to, but it just kept luring me in.
From season 1 to 3, you finished everything. No, sorry, so it's 2 seasons, sorry.
I binged season 2 in like a day and a half.
Got you.
It's such a heartwarming series, and it has a lot to say about it. Each season has like a different kind of theme. I really appreciate the theme in season 2, which was like around forgiveness and how tough an act that can really and truly be. It was beautifully told. And obviously the premise of it is it follows, let me get my notes out because I don't want to get anything wrong. It follows Jason Segel's character, who's a grieving therapist, and he uses like different techniques, I guess, unorthodox techniques to treat his patients. Mm. But at the same time, he's still grieving the loss of his wife, and he's having to raise his daughter at the same time. And she's a teenage daughter. And it's all around how he's using his job as a coping mechanism alongside his sort of railroad approach to like dealing with his grief.
Yeah.
And within that, it's such like a heartfelt, warm community that he's got around him, people that are so loving and so caring. It's got so much humor, but then it's also got a lot of depth in terms of like the themes. Where I mentioned forgiveness is one of the themes of season 2.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford, amazing. Obviously, it's Harrison Ford, right? So, duh, amazing. But like, he's really funny here.
Yeah.
And at times, you almost like, this don't seem like a Harrison Ford type of series, but he really fits into the world and produces a lot of some of the funniest moments in the show. Jessica Williams, that's your favorite.
The greatest woman alive.
Behave yourself. she's really good.
The greatest woman
she's
alive.
Really good. And some of the character interactions, again, like, it's just... It's a really beautiful, heartfelt series which has a lot to say, but also funny at the same time.
Yeah,
I think Shrinking is one of their best shows, man. Honestly,
yeah. I think season 2.
It's one of my favorite seasons of TV for quite some time.
100%, like you mentioned, like the whole theme of forgiveness. I think they've done such a great job in that in particular, and especially like even the fact that you don't necessarily have to forgive people as well. Like if you still feel hurt and feel some type of way, like you don't necessarily have to yourself to forgive. But then also. Covering the fact that forgiveness is not necessarily about the other person, it's more so about yourself, so you can be able to move on. I think the theme of forgiveness season 2 has been like what is one of my favorite executed themes that I've done on a TV show, maybe ever. I think done such a great job.
No, yeah. valid for sure.
Yeah, and also Brett Goldman, who's obviously he plays a big part in the second season. He's a writer of I don't know if he's the creator of Shrinking, he might be, but he's a writer of Shrinking, and he's also on Ted Lasso. He plays Ken?
Kent? I can't remember his character, but that's a fair enough. It's a very sharp pivot from you. That was well executed, I must say.
Thank you.
Yeah. So here we go. Yeah.
But Brett Goldman, he's also a writer in Ted Lasso. He plays the captain. I'm pretty sure his name is Ken or Kent or whatever. And I really like Ted Lasso. I'm not a huge fan of the latest season.
I think it's important to talk about its significance, though, because it's one of their flagship shows, right?
Yes. It's one of the... When it must have come out like 2021, I believe.
Maybe just before lockdown, I'm pretty sure. Maybe after that.
It was one of Apple TV's, if not the first, like one of the first TV shows that they had that was critically what critically acclaimed and won quite a few awards.
2000.
2000.
2020, sorry. 2000. 2020.
To be real, I watched season one, yeah?
Yeah.
And then I was like, cool, that was fine.
Okay.
And then when season two came out, I didn't run season two.
I think season two is the best season.
But that's what everyone's been telling me. That's what everyone's been telling me. And it's like, season one was fine, and I don't regret watching it. But it was like Umbrella Academy season whatever two. It was good, but it didn't make me go watch season three. Whereas season one made me go watch season two. Right, and that's it. So like, maybe I'll lock back in. I'm not even sure.
I think what it did though was show that Apple can make, won't call it prestige TV just yet, but what I would say is it can make shows that can be of mass appeal.
Yeah.
So do you think that the seasons were made because there was a good reaction to it? Because Apple so far seemed like they do everything not really based off like everyone's reaction. It's more so like, we believe in this. Do you get me?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Ted might be in the category of people.
They brought it back for season four, so yeah.
Yeah,
season three wasn't even well acclaimed, in my opinion.
No, it which wasn't good. It was not a good season.
But are you gonna lock in for four?
Yeah,
you'll give it a chance.
I'm definitely gonna give it a chance.
You'll give it a chance.
All right, cool.
Yeah,
because I think Brett Goldman is
he's talented. Yeah, he's very
Goldstein,
talented.
Goldstein. Brett Goldstein is a good writer, man.
It won Emmys, and I think again, like, not that we should ever base our quality or art on like acclaim or awards, but I think it does play a part in showing that to some degree there's some credit to the work you've put out to the world. And when it's recognised globally, especially at the Emmys, same with Severance is an Emmy awarded series, deservedly, but again it shows that slowly but surely they've built a small catalogue, I'd still say, of like well acclaimed adored shows for different reasons. So
also a massively British cast as well, you know what I mean? So
what, Ted?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a British TV show.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah, best of British. Slow Horses again is a really good example of like.
I
know you're not a huge lover of Slow Horses like the rest of us.
I watched the first episode. I couldn't slack. I didn't enjoy it.
I'd say give it another chance.
I'm gonna have to force myself to do it.
Do you know why it is? It's because I like the fact I love again crime dramas, but like it's a flip on the spy espionage world that we know it to be, like where everything's so like serious and mysterious and very much like 007 spy thing. Like it doesn't take itself too seriously, but at the same time has a lot of really good sort of action sequences. Some of the characters are really interesting as well. Gary Oldman puts in like a top tier performance, and as we know, he's one of the greatest. Yeah. And it's a type of role you wouldn't like. I guess you wouldn't think of Gary. If you saw Gary Oldman, you wouldn't say that's Gary Oldman. But he commits.
He does love a makeup though. He does love a changing look.
He does. Yeah. He done the speech with the King one, right? There was what's the King one that he done.
Not King Richard,
No, the one that he won the Churchill. You know Churchill. Yeah, he was mad.
In Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer as well. Yeah.
He loves a changing looks.
And one good thing about Slow Horses is they pretty much give you a season each year without fail.
Yeah, so season five coming up.
Season five. They've already shot season six, I'm pretty sure, and they've announced season.
I've only watched two seasons.
They've announced season seven.
Crazy.
Yeah. So like,
I'll actually lock in because the way you guys talk about it, I know I'm going to like it. But I need to get.
That's my problem with the early issue. Yeah. Okay. That we were saying, because I keep locking out of Apple TV. I don't know what's back on it.
They're not good at marketing.
Yeah.
They're not good at marketing. That's something that.
Why did you say that?
But I watched two seasons and I had no idea there was five seasons, fam.
Season five is out in like 20 some in the sometime in the next week and a half or so. Season five is out.
Like I'm even pretty sure the morning show is out now, right?
Next week.
Okay, see?
Bro, what?
Like, I remember seeing it like once, like a few weeks ago. But apart from that, I have not seen anything. I can't even think of, I think apart from Severance.
They push Severance.
What other TV show have they done where the marketing has been, like, I can't even think of like junkets of their TV shows. I can't really think of any promotional, anything of their TV shows apart from it being on Apple TV.
Mm. And if they do it, it'll be minimal.
Yeah, I think Severance was the only one. And what they'd really done well with Severance is that they were promoting it when the show was already finished as well.
Yeah, like
they kept promoting it.
Whole run.
Yeah, even at the end of that. But yeah, I don't think they're great at marketing the TV shows. Maybe because they don't actually care about making money off it.
Why do you think that is?
Because I think like Apple TV is just there for branding for Apple specifically. Because they don't make money of Apple TV. I was like, but I'm here for it. If you're a company with that much level of resource, splash it on the arts. I don't care if you make a penny. Let us enjoy it. And I think that's why we get so much great TV, because I don't think it's actually focused on it being profitable, where they have to make cuts in order for them to fit the TV shows for Apple TV, rather than just making good TV show, ensuring that people go on
purchase
their monthly thingy subscription.
That's fair, man. They've got, like, obviously you mentioned The Morning Show. That's a show you like. Silo. Hijack was good with Idris Elba. Yeah. Bad Monkey, I don't know if you guys have seen it, but that was good. It's got a Vince Vaughn, who's really good in it. Dark Matter is another one that I'd highly recommend. And one of my favourites is a sleeper. It's called Swagger. I spoke about it on the pod before.
Yeah. You've spoken about it a few times.
Yeah, man. Because I feel like...
What's so good about it?
All right, cool. Let me go. one, it has a real hyper-focus on the black community. So yeah, W, hi, you got me already. Basketball 2 is a really good crux for me. It's going to lure me in. But although it's a sports series about... It's essentially based on Kevin Durant loosely. Okay. And it follows a young kid called Jace Carson.
That one. Okay, cool.
Called Jace Carson, who's like the next prodigy. And it follows like the trials and tribulations of being that teen prodigy and the pressures that come with it. But it doesn't just focus on the pressures on him. It's also like parents and agents and teammates and teachers, and how like grubby that industry can be when people see potential money to be made or stardom to be made, and how like people can like sort of clutch themselves towards that individual. It also delves into some really interesting themes racially, in terms of society today, and some of the racial issues that some of the young people deal with, sexuality, abuse, which is a dark topic in of itself, but it's also prominent in our world. The series explores that. It's 2 seasons. It's really, really good TV. And it's got a really good acting cast.
Is it better than the one on Now TV, the one that we worked on a couple of years ago?
Can't remember it.
The Lakers Dynasty one.
Winning Time. Is it Winning Time?
It's not the same. It's hard to compare.
Because Winning Time was really good.
Yeah, it's hard to compare the two. If I had to pick one, I'd say maybe Swagger, because I think he has a lot more to say.
Yeah, fair enough.
From a thematical,
that's already been told, I guess. Yeah.
From like a thematical perspective, it has a lot more to say.
Fair enough.
And I think it should have got a third season, and it didn't.
Did it cancel or just finish?
Just finished. Oh. Yeah, just finished. Just finished, which I thought was a shame. This year, they've had a lot of shows as well, though. Before we maybe wrap up the episode, they've had Your Friends and Neighbours, which is a series I had a really good time with. I had
Shout
so much
John
fun.
Hamm.
John Hamm's, he's the man, right?
Yeah.
The dialogue just got me from the get-go. You know that first interaction where it was just so sharp, locks me in straight away. I do think the ending was a bit...
I would have liked for it to be finished. I would have liked one season done.
But you'll watch season 2.
I'll watch season 2.
Yeah.
But I was the same with Shrinking. I was like, fine. Like when I announced season 2, I was like, why are we getting a season 2?
Interesting.
But I like season 2 more than season 1 now.
That's interesting. What other shows have we got from Apple this year? We had there was Stick. Oh, sorry, you go.
Chief of War.
Jason Momoa. That's doing really well.
Yeah.
Really well.
Me too.
Yeah, Stick with Owen Wilson. It's like another sort of Shrinking esque, funny, enjoyable series. We've got Slow Horses coming out, as we mentioned. We've got the Morning Show. So there's a lot on the platforms. Do you think there's enough there right now to lure people in to say you should be a user of Apple TV?
I believe so, because I think quality wise, like, you can argue that obviously Netflix got a lot more, and they also have stuff that they have purchased from other places.
Licensing,
historically. But I think the quality of Apple is just better. And I think there's a lot more, and it's more diverse in terms of like the type of stories that they're trying to tell.
Right, with you.
If I had to only pick one streaming site, it'll be Apple TV.
Well, right now, that would be the one.
That would be the one I would pick. Okay. Yeah. Easily. I don't think it's even close.
What about yourself, Us? Did you watch Murderbot before I go to watch?
No, I haven't.
I didn't watch Murderbot, you know?
Okay.
That's a good question, man. If I had to pick one streaming service right now, what am I on?
I guess Now TV does count, so yeah, it'd be Now TV.
I'd say Disney Plus.
Interesting. It's just so you can rewatch Captain America, the first Avenger again, or Iron Man.
I hate that film.
Which one? Iron Man?
No, Captain America, the first venture. I think it's better now, though.
It's not bad.
I used to not really like it. No, I think...
Disney are actually trying to expand, though.
Disney have other things. FX has helped massively as well. Do you know what I mean? Okay,
yeah,
that kind of
stuff. Yeah, they're trying to expand their catalogue. That was one of their things for the year. It was like trying to be more invested in creating more new shows and more...
Yeah, they got to put Ironheart in the bin. That was the worst thing I've watched in my whole life.
I liked Ironheart. I liked Ironheart, you know?
That is crazy.
I liked Ironheart.
Ironheart was awful.
I liked it. I thought it was fine.
I thought it was good.
Yeah.
Me and Yazio sat there and we were both like, oh my God.
I completely disagree with you on that.
I generally think it was the worst series that they ever produced.
That's insane, just a big lie. That is insane.
So we need to have an actual like chat about this.
No, we don't.
I think it's probably top four.
I think it was fine. I liked it. I thought Riri, it's hard to say Riri. I think Riri was a really interesting character.
Her character's written awfully.
I disagree. I like the fact, people are like, oh, she's not likable. So what? Is Tony Stark likable? No, he's not. He's a piece of shit.
It's not about the likable.
That's what people were saying.
Oh, yeah, fair enough. Right? But it's like a lot of the stuff that she was doing, okay, in the thing. Like, the thing is, I get it. I get we have to put this like comic book kind of like superhero thing of like, oh, it's not real, type shit on it. But being stupid is also not her brand. Do you know what I mean? Okay. And a lot of what she was doing was just fucking stupid, right? And like she like I don't know if it was to a point I thought there was like production mistakes, like that's how dumb things were, you know. And I just it was weak. And the last episode saved it. It saved any sort of real storyline, you know. It was awful, bro. So but that's not me getting into it, but I can get, but yeah, it's awful. But yeah, man, shout out to Apple TV and that. Actually, yo, big shout out to Apple TV. I'm gonna be in a fucking credit for Apple TV, a second unit. Currently working on The Wanted Man, featuring Hugh Laurie, which is pretty cool, from House, and Thandi Newton. They were both on set, and I had a little moment with Hugh Laurie where he was I don't know if rude is the right word to say to me, but he was funny, I guess. He was doing the scene where he was opening this prison door. He done it like five times, right, in rehearsals. Anyways, I go off and I come back, and then we're shooting the scene with the first unit, and he sits like right fucking next to me. Anyways, does the scene in real time now, struggles to open the door. Bear in mind, we all don't have the same scripts, okay? Because obviously we're all shooting different things for the series. Anyways, cool. He sits back down and then asks me, hey man, what are you doing today? And I was like, oh, I'm doing a second unit where we're shooting. He was like, oh, cool, six. It's like, cool. And then I was like, hey man, you struggle to open the door. How comes? And he goes, it's called acting.
Fair enough. That's
I called you an idiot.
That's an approach.
But I was like, yeah, no, obviously that.
That's an approach to a conversation for sure. Yeah, fair.
I was like, yeah, no, of course, man. And then I think when he realized that, like, was, like,
excuse me,
smiley and jokey about it, he was more like, no, just because like I had to know how to do it properly first in order to act that I couldn't do it. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. That's nice. Fair dude. But that's the question that I was like actually asking. Obviously, you only get like a second in a minute. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, being on the Apple TV set, by the way, and seeing that, and I've been on Netflix, Apple, and BBC now. Apple by far was the most, like, the most people that I've seen on set as well. They had around 85 crew members, and they had around 250 essays. It was incredible. It was absolutely incredible. Very professional, very in line. The director, forgot her name, Rachel something, she was outstanding as well. Yeah, bro, honestly, it was really, really well run, man.
That's it.
Yeah.
What do you think the point we made about Prestige before we finish up?
Yeah.
And Prestige TV, which is the term that's used, and I use it quite a lot. I sound like kids, don't I? But yeah, Prestige TV.
Shout out to Kim.
Do you feel like Apple will be able to sort of really infiltrate that lane when you've still got like a HBO who are still around and still lurking? They'll still drop you like a House of the Dragon. They've got the new series Task. I don't know if you guys have seen it with Mark Ruffalo. It's good. Task is good. But like HBO has always been known as the home, I guess, of quote unquote prestige TV, The Wire, Game of Thrones, The Sopranos, etc.
Yeah, but not anymore though.
Why do you feel that way?
Because everything now is based off, as you've both said, it's based off IP and licensing, right? So like you would think that HBO, Netflix, Prime will fight each other for IP and licensing, full stop. Whereas Apple are saying, they're claiming that they're going to do original shows, right? So IP means nothing, and licensing means nothing. So you're basing it off their creativity and what they're making, full stop. So if HBO, when you look at their shows back then, they weren't remakes, right? They were all things that did that thing it did because they were trying to create IPs, like obviously Wire and the Sopranos, blah blah blah. So they're not in that space right now.
Right. I think they still are, because they recently had Succession, and that's been like looked at as one of the best TV shows.
No. Not looked on, bro.
It is, but
it's
also been looked on.
I just had to get that in there.
As one of the,
you know me, propaganda.
Yeah, you've been a twat.
Come on,
yeah, but the question is, okay, is
a
that
prestige
is,
TV?
Yeah.
But that's
one show.
I know. I was so it's like even the House of Dragon, on the back of the success of Game of Thrones, the House of Dragon still being looked at as
that's a shared IP.
Yeah, but it doesn't change the fact that it's still looked at as prestige TV.
No, but that's what I'm saying. I feel like the examples that he gave, okay, that represent prestige TV are original ideas. That's not an original idea.
But I didn't mention Thrones, to be fair, when I said HBO is like the home. So I get your point. Your point is Apple will continue to push original prestige, potentially TV shows. Whereas your point is HBO can still be a segment of whatever prestige TV is, with some of it being, or a large part of it being, the Penguin, which is IP, or House of the Dragon IP. But then they're still going to make a show like Task, which just came out, and it's being well received so far.
Obviously, they're always going to have... mixture of both, right? But what makes a Phoenix studio like legacy is original shows.
So then, does now Disney today, with what I would say is a lack of originality to some degree at least, that's still seen as like a well esteemed and highly esteemed sort of IP, or not IP, but business, even though a large part of it now is kind of like remaking a lot of the same
shit. But I don't think Disney are legacy TV or
no, but just legacy TV as a whole, I guess.
But they have a legacy in a specific lane, okay? Like literally in the I guess the cartoon animation era, okay? They bossed it, right?
For sure.
So that's their thing. I wouldn't put them next to HBO or these studios, okay, in regards to kind of like original ideas. Do you know what I'm saying? Right. So and by the way, like HBO at the moment is better than Apple, in my opinion, as an overall studio, right? Okay, but I feel like if obviously I'm answering your question, I feel like if in 5-10 years Apple continue in a way where they're sticking to their original shows or films or blah, blah, and they'll just get better and better and better, then I think they can build a wider roster that can live on for longer.
Yeah,
in theory, obviously I could be completely fucking wrong.
It'll be interesting to see. HBO's are supposed to be coming to the UK in next year, but I think Sky
been teasing that for time, bro.
Yeah, but Sky have still got some kind of a licensing deal where they'll have a Harry Potter. There was a big debate over the Harry Potter thing.
As you can imagine,
because
I think Sky's deal runs till 2027. By the way,
I think it got extended for a year to 2026. But then they're going to do Harry Potter first, and then we'll see.
Gotcha.
We'll see. Good conversation today, to be fair. What we'll try to do is do more of these going forward in terms of, you know, looking at some of the other streaming platforms with a bit more Batman prep time as well.
Yes, sir.
To delve into some more history as well, some more fun facts maybe. But today's been an enjoyable episode for sure. If you haven't got Apple TV, I'm not going to tell you to buy it per se, but I would highly recommend the platform. I think it's got some really good original shows. Some of the movies are good as well. There are some mediocre movies, but overall, there's a commitment to telling good storytelling.
Yeah.
And there's a commitment to some degree at least, furthering the field of the arts. How successful they will continue to be remains to be seen. But we are the Post Credit Scene Podcast, a 14 HQ original, lovers of film, TV and theatre. And that is us, over and out.
Hi, I'm Lashana Lynch, and you are listening to the Post Credit Scene Podcast.